Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Tradition held since who knows when became our cornerstone. The clothes we wore so modestly and the many songs we sang, we hoped and prayed that God was pleased with the things we did for him. But in chapter 6, the book of John, the Holy Word explains the works of God that we must do that is pleasing unto him. Believe in him whom he has sent, Jesus said to them, come to me, the bread of life, and never thirst again. Jesus is the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of his holy word I'd never seen before. My heart now sees what he did for me when he died on Calvary. My guarantee. Don't ignore the pleading sound knocking on the door. He's the one, the only one that can satisfy your soul. Come and pray, don't delay, he's all you'll ever need. Eternity depends today on the choices that you make. Cause I have found the answer my heart's been looking for. Pages of his holy word I've never seen before. My heart now sees what he did for me when he died on Calvary. By faith I believe my sins he forgave. Now heaven's my guarantee. Cause Jesus is the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of his.
Over the last few programs, I've been teaching on assurance of salvation. And when one studies the Word of God, you can clearly see that God is willing that none perish, and he'll do everything in his power to save them that are lost. He sent his only begotten Son so that we could inherit eternal life just by turning to him and offer him our right hand of fellowship and ask him to save us. That's all we need to do. And then the Lord God teaches us in his word, then he saves us, he seals us unto the day of redemption. We then become his purchased possession, meaning he will watch out for us with everything he's got. He will protect us. I want to show you in this message today how God desperately tried to save the perishing, even in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was looking for an intercessor and he found one. And that intercessor, which was Abraham, he stopped short of asking God to forgive the whole place. Maybe that would have helped, but he stopped at 10. I'll be showing you the story. And when we study the different places in the Old Testament, God looks for somebody to warn the people, to try to stop them from their headlong sin. And when we study the sin that those people were in, it is unbelievable. The Bible teaches us that in Sodom and Gomorrah, they went after strange flesh. That doesn't necessarily mean homosexuality, because homosexuality has been with us from the beginning. But what I think it really means is that they were operating in the demonic realm. The demonic realm was a physical force in Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we study these things, we start to clearly see that God understands the terrible force behind the sin of what people commit. A person is not necessarily a sinner because he sins. He sins because he is a sinner. That's his nature. And his nature is working against him. Satan is there to condemn and to speed up the sinning. And God knows who is behind all of this. And he does everything to try to save them that are going straight into the clutches of Satan. So today I'll preach on this interesting subject, but before I get into it, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to your grace, kindness, and goodness. I thank you for the word of God, and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When somebody goes through the Old Testament, you can clearly see that God is looking for an intercessor. This is why he calls the Christians the reconcilers, because we intercede for the world. The Lord God, Jesus himself said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that should believe. And the reason is this, it is given us to pray for the world system. It's given us to intercede and to reconcile. We need to reconcile people back to God, from which Satan, through deception, took us away. Here is the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah were a terrible, sinful place. When we study the way they operated, and when we look at different documentaries on how Sodom and Gomorrah were, and how the Bible teaches us, they were plainly into all sorts of immorality, to the point where they would even rape any stranger who came along. And Sodom and Gomorrah were situated right on a trade route where people would come in to buy food or to buy water or what else they need. And then they would be treated horribly by the people. So here is what happened in Genesis chapter 18 in verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I will do? And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Here is God, who knows everything, who sees everything, coming down and telling us that he will share with Abraham what he's going to do. And he is telling us here that he will see for himself whether it is as bad as the reports are. We all know that God knows everything. So what I believe happened here, he shared this with Abraham to see if Abraham would intercede for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know for a fact that Abraham had a nephew called Lot and his family in the city of Sodom. And he was, I'm sure, very, very worried that his family was going to get hurt. It tells us in Genesis chapter 18 in verse 22, and the men turned their faces thence. These were the angels that walked with God and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet with the Lord. So God sent those two angels to Sodom, and God himself started talking with Abraham. And Abraham drew near and said, "Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Maybe there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" And we, those of us who know the story, know how it ended. He started at 50. The Lord said, "If there I find 50 in there, I will spare the place for the 50. And then he said, he started with 50, then he came down to 40, and then he came down to 30, and then he came down to 20. I'm telling you, that's a hopeless case. Every time the Lord said, "If I find 20, if I find 30, I will save that whole city for the sake of these 20. And in Genesis 18, in verse 32, he says, and he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, but I will speak yet once more. Maybe 10 shall be found there." And the Lord said, "I will not destroy it for the 10th sake." If there's 10 found in those thousands of people, then I will not destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here is what I see in this story. We are the ambassadors for Christ. We are the salt of the earth. And we're keeping back the evil. God will not destroy this planet. The tribulation will not come until the salt of the earth is going to be taken out. And that's exactly what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. The only person that was righteous was a guy called Lot. And he even offered his daughters to those pedophiles, to those perverts who were asking to rape the angels that stayed overnight at his house. He offered his daughters, but they were not interested. They wanted those angels and they wanted to rape them. The Bible teaches us that they were so desperate that the angels struck them blind and they tried to find the door in their blindness till they were totally exhausted. If I would have been struck blind, I would have ran from the place if I could have. But you can see how demon-possessed and how completely godless those people were. And Abraham, God couldn't find 10 in that place. Abraham quit asking. He didn't dare to go for 5. That's where we need to understand. Maybe if he would have gone to 5. Maybe if he would have gone to 4, Sodom and Gomorrah would have been safe for a while longer. But as it was, Abraham stopped interceding. And then God took care of his nephew Lot. He took him and his family out of the terrible city that was in such deep sin. And we know the rest of the story. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by flaming fire from heaven. And this is what's going to happen during the tribulation. The horrors that are going to take place once the church is removed is beyond our comprehension. And then we have another story about God and Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God that was sent to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a terrible people. They would skin their prisoners alive. They would hack open. They would cut open the women that were pregnant and rip the babies out and kill them on the rocks if they went to war and destroyed cities. And they were into such demonic activity that God told Jonah, go and warn them. And if they will not turn, I will destroy them in 40 days. And those of us who know the story, remember that they put on sackcloth and they went and repented. Yes, they were destroyed, but it was only 140 years later instead of 40 days later. But Jonah wasn't at all pleased with that. And the Bible teaches us that he and God had an argument when God did not destroy the city of Nineveh. And here is what God said to Jonah. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 60,000 persons, and which cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God saw the animals. God saw the cattle. God saw the people that did not understand the terrible consequences of sin. God saw Satan behind all of this. And he said to Jonah, those people cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. They're totally naive in what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And I want to save them. And I will spare them. Yes, Jonah was very angry. But God did not care about the anger of Jonah. He wanted to save the people and to keep from destroying them. And the reason he didn't destroy them is because they repented. They turned from their wicked ways and turned to God. They put on sackcloth, the Bible teaches us. Yes, they were destroyed, but it took 140 years. So that generation that was in Nineveh at the time of Jonah were saved, even though Jonah hated them with a passion and he argued with God that he needed to destroy them. So this is where we stand today. We are the intercessors. We are the ones that are keeping back the evil. We are the reconcilers. We're the ones that God has chosen to pray for them that are lost. And I am doing this on this radio program on a constant basis. I'm calling out to those that are lost, especially those in religion. Today, people are trying to live righteously. And I want to explain this. They don't live a bad life. Yes, some may. Through the religious organizations, they're being kept from going into immorality or into child sacrifice or into all these homosexual activities and demonic things. They're kept by religion. But the problem is, that's a false hope. That's a deception. It's even worse than living for the devil. Because here in religion, you think you're right. I call it a spirit of religion. When somebody thinks he's right, He does not repent because he doesn't have to in his mind. So you need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to turn to Jesus for salvation. For he is willing that none perish, and he giveth his life for them that are lost. So turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your religion and give your life and heart to Jesus for salvation. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated.
When I study the Word of God on the love of God, I can clearly see that anybody who ends up in the lake of fire, it will be his own choice made here on this earth. For God will not violate your choice. He will not violate that rule. This is one law that God will not break even to save people, and that is to determine their choice. For we are all created with free choice, and we have to make that choice to enter into eternity with God. God will not stop anybody from making the choice against him. The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 23, and it was when they came to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right in the middle of crucifixion, while they were nailing him to the cross, while they were cursing him and mocking him, he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And when we study the Word of God, we know that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He created all of us. And here our creator is being mocked and crucified by the very ones that he came to save, by the very ones that he created. There you see how incredible Jesus loves his creation. Now I want to read to you a scripture out of Romans chapter 8 in verse 33. Once you become born again, here is what God says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So there is Jesus at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And there is one thing you have to understand. He will not stop at 10, like Abraham did. He is going to intercede and plead for us until we're all safe in the arms of God. The Bible teaches us, all of them that you have given me, I will lose no one. What an incredible statement for Jesus to make. He is our intercessor. He is the one that is interceding for us at the right hand of God. So there's nothing that Satan can do to rip us away from him. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, it tells us this. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus towards us. So here we are, a new creation. We have the mind of Christ. So it simply teaches us here that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, that's the demonic realm, things present, things today, or things that will come, they will not separate us from the love of God that he has towards us in Christ Jesus. This is the confidence that the Apostle Paul had when he said, I am confident he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. So for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we need to remind ourselves that we are safe in the arms of Jesus. We don't have to serve him out of fear. We don't even have to serve him because somehow we feel there's a rule to it or there's a law. We simply serve him because we love and appreciate what he did. It's out of appreciation and the love relationship that we have for Christ that brings us into fellowship, that brings us into serving him. If it's anything else, you are operating in the flesh and you're trying to somehow please God through your own efforts and through your own abilities. So give God your heart. Let the Lord Jesus look at you with joy and peace instead of being grieved. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a
blessing. Here at Reaching Out Ministries, Amen. We would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.